Well, amen. I'm excited, if you could tell. I've been plugged into 220. That's what y'all been running off of 110 all week. But I'm plugged into the Holy Ghost. He runs on 220. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go before the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning. We are so excited, Lord. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord. I thank you for all of God's people, Lord God. Lord, you love us so much, God, and we thank you for showing us your mercy, your kindness, your goodness. Lord, truly, we are grateful this morning. As we come this morning, we pray that as we open up the word of God, that you would speak to our hearts. That God, that you would not only give us ears to hear, but that Lord, that we will experience you in a real, in a personal way. Even as Paul prayed, Lord God, I pray that, Father, that Christ will dwell in our hearts by faith. I pray that we would be rooted and grounded in love. Come on, that our roots would grow down deep in the love of God. I pray that, Lord, we would come to understand the depth, the breadth, the height, and the length. Come on, God, that we would know how wide, how long, how high, and how deep your love is. Father, I pray that we might experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand. Come on, that's what we want, Father. We want to experience you, Lord God. That's what our young people need. Lord, they don't need another man. They need an experience with God. And so, Father, I'm praying right now that, Lord, that they'll have an experience with you, that you'll touch them right where they are, that they'll experience the love of God, that, Lord God, that goes beyond our understanding, God. I pray that you would do it today in our hearts, in our lives. And, Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory, and all God's people said, amen. For those of you that joined, we're teaching a series, and we're calling it Loving Like Jesus. How many of you know that in a world that is so full of division and hate and nastiness, how many of you know if there was ever a time they need to see a picture of Jesus, how many of you know it's right now? I shared last week that Dr. Michael Brown wrote an article. He said, you know, it's unfortunately what we're seeing happening on a national scene is only a picture of what's happening in the hearts of the American people. He said, we are divided. We are nasty. We burn bridges rather than build them. We choose to believe the worst in people rather than believe the best in people. That's where we are right now as a nation. But listen what Jesus said in John 13. He says, so now I give you a new commandment. Say a new commandment. Love each other. Listen, just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Listen, I like this part. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Did y'all hear that? What did Jesus say is going to prove to the world that we belong to him? It's our love one for another. You know, when we love like Jesus, the world sees a picture of what God is like. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to love like Jesus. You know, it's amazing when we begin to show the world, they don't want to hear another sermon. They want to see a people who are loving like Jesus. And so last week we talked about what loving like Jesus meant. Loving like Jesus means to love unconditionally. How many know a love with no conditions? A love to love people without judging them. Can I have an amen? To love people without condemning them. To love people regardless of what's their race, their background, their voting, their economic, their political affiliation. How many know we need to love like Jesus? We need to love the Democrat, the Republican, and the Independent. Somebody say amen. How many know when we love like Jesus, we don't care what's your affiliation. We choose to love you anyway. Can I have an amen? And if there was ever a time the world need to see us love without condition, a love that know no part, a love without partiality. And we looked at what it meant to love like Jesus. A love that loves not just our friend, but love our enemies. How many know anybody can love the people that love you? But Jesus said, if you want to be like a child of God, you got to love your enemies. You got to pray for those who despitefully use you. See, that's when anybody can be good and be kind to people who are kind and to them. But the real test of our love is how we love people who don't believe like us, who don't look like us, who don't vote like us, who don't act like we act. See, that's the real test of our love. And if there was ever a time we need to love like Jesus, it is certainly now. And so this morning, I want to look at another aspect of what it means to love like Jesus. And I want to talk to you this morning about how to love sacrificially. How to love sacrificially. Last week, we looked at how to love unconditionally. I want to look at how to love sacrificially. The word sacrifice means to give up something. It means to give up something you want to keep in order to help someone else. Anybody made a sacrifice? That's why praise should be a sacrifice. Sometimes you don't feel like raising your hand, but you're raising it. Sometimes you don't feel like singing, but you're singing anyway. Sometimes you don't feel like, and so, see, the fire falls on the sacrifice. And whenever the people of God came to worship God, God required a sacrifice. David said, I will give God, I won't bring God anything that didn't cost me something. I want you to know, if it's not a sacrifice, I want you to know it's a good sign that it's not pleasing the Lord. The Lord wants a sacrifice. That's why the Bible says in Romans 12:1, it says, offer your body a living sacrifice. God don't want a dead sacrifice. He don't want to wait till you. Listen, give him while you're alive. Praise him now. Come on. We ought to give God the strength we have now. I'm grateful that, listen, God has allowed me to live this long. I was talking with a fellow pastor. I don't know how long we'll live. You know, we're living in the last days. But I want you to know, if I have breath this morning, I'm going to praise him now. Anybody beside me, I'm not going to wait till I feel like it. I'm not going to wait till the time, till the circumstance. I'm going to praise him now. God's been too good to us. And we ought to let the world know that he is a good God. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, how to love God sacrificially. For those that's tuning in online via social media, you can put in your chat, listen, and if you don't, we send out the sermon outline, and if you'd like to get the sermon outline, if you would put in the chat, put your email address, if you don't get it, we would be glad to send you a copy of the sermon outline. I want to engage with those who are connecting. And so this morning, I'm reading at Ephesians chapter 5. Listen what Jesus said. It says, Ephesians chapter 5, it says, be imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. Come on, say it with me. Say, live a life of love. Come on, let's read it together. Say, be imitators of God as dear children, and live a life of love. Come on, and walk in the way of love. I'm reading the New Living Translation. I put the NIV. Leave it up. And walk in the way of love. What kind of love is it? Just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Say sacrifice. God loves a sacrifice. You know, we see this kind of sacrificial love often in parents. When sometime you see a parent with a newborn child, they often have to sacrifice sleep to take care of their children. We see them sometimes, they sacrifice their own careers in order to see their children experience the best. We see sometimes parents often, they go without so their children can have. That's what's called a sacrificial love. And a parent will often, especially we see this in the lives of mothers, mothers will often go to great sacrifices on behalf of their children. I'm grateful I had a mother who wanted us to have a good education, and she sacrificed and worked long hours. Mama, I'm forever grateful to send me to a private school. We couldn't necessarily afford it, but she said, if I got a crap grass, I'm going to sacrifice to give y'all a good education. That was a sacrifice. That was, and I don't want to ever forget the price. I am where I'm at today because of the sacrifice of a mother says, son, I'm willing to put aside what I want. She could have had anything she wants. She was a beautician for 25 years, and she spent most of what she earned to send her kids to school. Let's thank God for sacrifice. Come on. Mama, I want you to know I am grateful for the sacrifice you made. It wasn't in vain. Amen. I'm grateful for the sacrifice. I'm grateful for every mother who sacrificed. Let me just tell you, listen, today we got kids. You go off to school, get an education, live high on the hog. It's because somebody paid the way. Let's thank God for the parents who sacrificed. Come on, all. For every parent who sacrificed, I want you to know that, listen to me, listen, they might not ever appreciate you, but one day God's going to thank you for the sacrifice you made. So what does it mean to love like Jesus? I want you to know that if we're going to love like Jesus, listen to what it means, we must be willing to give up our rights to serve others. I'm reading Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. The Bible says, you must, many of you know the King James says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. One version says, have the same attitude that Christ had. In the Living Bible, it says, listen, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. What kind of attitude is that? That means one of a sacrifice. Listen, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine prayer. Say, give it up. See, a person who sacrificed, he's willing to give up something on behalf of another. Jesus gave up his life so that you and I could experience abundant life. I don't ever want to take it for granted. I enjoy favor. I enjoy the blessings of God. It's because of what Jesus has done. Come on, give Jesus a praise offering for the sacrifice that he made. He sacrificed children of God because of his sacrifice. Today that we have peace with God because of his sacrifice. Today we experience the blessings of God because of his sacrifice. I don't want to ever take it for granted that he paid a price that I could never pay. He paid a price. And so the Bible says he gave up his divine privilege. He took the humble position of a slave, and he was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God, and he died a criminal's death on the cross. I was the criminal, but he took my place. Every one of you, liar, cheater, adulterer, fornicator, ungodly, that was us. He took our place. He never knew any sin. He never lied. He never cheated. He never lusted. He never looked at someone wrong. He never did any sin. Yet he became sin. He took my sin. He took your sin so that today we could be righteous. Come on, let's thank God for the sacrifice of Jesus. It cost God everything. Let me tell you, he said, Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. The Bible said he was in such agony that he began to sweat drops of blood. That's how much it cost him. He began to agonize. He didn't do it one time. He said it two times. He did it three times. He said, but nevertheless, not my will, but let your will be done. He did that for you, and he did that for me. Come on. That's why we owe him everything. Let's give him a praise right now. Come on, thank him for what he's done. That's why it's an indictment against God for you to go to a Saints game and act a fool, and you come into church realizing that he sacrificed everything, and you fold your hands. You put your hands, but I ain't going to praise God. I tell you, I want you to know that you're a fool not to praise God. I want you to know that listen, when he did it, when he's done so much, he deserves it. He deserves the praise. He deserves the honor. He deserves the glory. Somebody beside me, give him some praise in this place, because he deserves it. Oh, he deserves it. He deserves it. He did that for you. You know, Jesus was willing to give up his rights. He is willing to give up his status. He is willing to give up his privilege so that he might serve you and I sacrificially. I want you to know, we live in a day that everybody wants their rights, but nobody wants their responsibility. They say you give a man his rights, you promote rebellion. You give a man a responsibility, come on, he'll learn to appreciate things. We're living in a culture today. I'm not demeaning it, but everybody want their rights, but nobody want their responsibility. And Jesus gave up his rights. See, today everybody want their rights. This is my money. I worked hard for it. You can't tell me what to do with it. This is my body. I do what I want with my body. This is my, so everybody, I got the right to do what I want with who I am. With what I have. See, that's what rights demand. But when we love like Jesus, we're willing to give up our rights. We're willing to say, Jesus, not what I want, but what you want. Listen to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I didn't put it on your outline. In the Living Bible, Paul said, even though I'm a free man with no master, Paul said, I'm not a slave. I'm a free person. As a Roman citizen, he was free. He said, yet I have become a slave to all people to bring as many to Christ. Paul said, to the Jew, I became like a Jew. To the wise, I became like the wise. To the unwise, to the unwise. Paul said, I became all things to all men so that by somehow I might save some. Paul was willing to give up his rights in order to reach people for Jesus, in order to share the love of Jesus. You know, when was the last time you gave up your rights in order to serve somebody? I'm going to share a true story. About a month ago, I was in the airport flying from Boston. I don't know if it was this time, but I was in the airport, and there was a Chick-fil-A. Anybody like Chick-fil-A other than me? Making you hungry, but they closed today. But anyway, I was in the airport. I was flying back. And unbeknownst, you know, people get angry because they messed up this person's order. And this person began to be irate and really began to treat the person behind the cash register, I call it despairingly, began to treat them that they had no value, that they were less than, began to belittle them, began to depreciate them, began to treat them and insult them. Now, I wanted to jump across that counter, but the person from Chick-fil-A, listen, the worker apologized, said, I take full responsibility. Say, don't worry, no problem. You keep the food we got, and I'm gonna fix all the food is free on us. It totally disarmed this irate, angry, mean-spirited person when a Chick-fil-A person working around the register chose to love sacrificially, chose to, instead of retaliating, they gave up their right to retaliate. They gave up their right. My goodness, sometimes we see more sacrificial love in Chick-fil-A than we do in the church. That's an indictment against us. Here was somebody who was willing to give up their rights in order to serve. You know, that's what Jesus is calling us to do. We all have our right. See, the real test of whether or not you have a sacrificial love is when people begin to treat you lesser, inferior. That's the real test. See, anybody could respond when they treat you right. But what happened when they pick up trash and you say, oh, you deserve to be picking up, and they throw some more trash down? See, but a servant recognized that, listen, we do it unto Jesus. We love like Jesus. And we're willing to model like Jesus. See, that's what our world needs right now. Our world needs to see people who are willing to give up their rights. Let me just tell you, it's amazing how angry and mean-spirited people are. And, you know, I was talking to a believer, going back and forth on social media with a believer. I posted a post why I reposted someone's post. If you're having a difficult time praying for President Trump, this is how you should pray. And so I thought it was very nice, very timely post, and I reposted it. And a friend of mine who's also a believer replied back and said, you can't pray for a devil. One said, you got to cast the devil out. I know some of you feel that way too. And I said, sir, listen to me. I understand. He said, you don't understand. He lost some family members as a result of coronavirus, and he was speaking out of his own anger and his own hurt. A believer. And I told him, I said, brother, listen, I understand how you may feel. I said, but you know what? We got to learn to put aside our feelings. We got to be willing to give up our right to get angry, to retaliate, to revenge, and obey God's word. God's word said we're to pray for those in our thoughts. If ever we needed prayer right now, how many know we need it now? Somebody say amen. And that's a word for some of you today, because sometimes we listen to all this negativity, but I want you, we feel, I got a right. I got a right to my opinion. Yeah, you got a right to your opinion. But you know what? If we're going to love like Jesus, we're willing to give up our right to our own negative, hate, mean-spirited, bitter opinion. Can I have an amen? We're willing to say, Jesus, listen, I'm willing to put aside how I feel. I'm willing to stand on your word. Anybody like me want to love like Jesus? I want you to know we can't do it in our own strength. It's impossible in our own strength. But how many know the Bible says the Holy Spirit has shed abroad God's love in our hearts. I want you to know if you're struggling loving like Jesus, it means you're not spending time with Jesus. But if you'll spend time with Jesus, if you'll abide with Jesus, if you'll let him remain in you, I want you to know that when they squeeze you, love will come out. Somebody say amen. God wants the love of Jesus to flow out of us. And if we're going to love like Jesus, and we're going to love sacrificially, we're going to have to learn to serve. We see an example in Jesus' life. In John chapter 13, the Bible says, listen, just to give you a backdrop, they were arguing, right? Jesus is about to die on the cross for the sins of the world, and they arguing about who's going to be the greatest. Isn't that human nature? We talking about our rights. They're talking about, you know, they're arguing over their own rights. They, you know, we have a hard time giving up our egos and our logos. But look at Jesus. I love Jesus. Come on, I want to be like Jesus. Jesus said in John 13:1-5, before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that the hour had come to leave this world and return to the Father. Listen, he had loved his disciples during his ministry on the earth, and now he loved them to the very end. God help us. It was supper time, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God, and he was about to return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and he poured water in a basin. Then he began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with towels he had around him. Could you imagine? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the one who created everything, the first and the last, the one who by him we exist, from him our breath comes. Imagine the King of Kings stooping to do what was done normally by a slave, a house servant. Even most homeowners would not wash feet. So often they would hire a house slave or a house servant to wash people's feet. And yet Jesus took, though he was so high, he stooped so low to wash feet. I don't know about you, but I want to be like Jesus. Anybody want to be like Jesus? Anybody want to learn to love like Jesus? I don't care how high he was willing to stoop low to wash feet. God, make us more like Jesus. Make us such an example like him. Here's, before I move, when was the last time you gave up your rights to serve someone else? That's what the world is looking for, sacrificial love. A friend of mine, I appreciate, a friend of mine uses his day off and he goes into a nursing home and he takes his instrument and plays for many. Many of them are don't even know who he is, but yet he sacrificed his time and his energy, give up his right, his day off, to go and serve in a nursing home. How many know that's what loving like Jesus is? Secondly, if we're going to love like Jesus, we must practice Christ-like submission. Say submission. I know y'all, some of y'all struggle with that. That's a curse word today. We must practice Christ-like submission in our relationships, in all of our relationships. Family relationships are one of the clearest examples for us to demonstrate Christ-like sacrificial love. I'm reading Ephesians 5, verses 21 and 22. Paul addresses the women first. First of all, he addresses everybody. He says, and further submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, how many know submission is not just for women, it's for everybody. Say everybody. Somebody in the chat, go say for everybody. Submission is for the man, for the woman, for children, for wives, that for bosses, for everybody. And so he begins to start out with women. He said, for wives, that means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Let me just tell you, it's a sacrifice for a woman to honor and respect her husband even when they don't deserve it. Even when they don't act like and conduct themselves in a respectful way. Some say, well, listen, I respect him if he carried himself with respect, if he was deserving of respect. But the Bible teaches us a submission that says even if they don't carry themselves in respect. Listen to what it says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. In the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands, that even if some of them refuse to obey the good news, your godly lives will speak to them without any words. They will be won over by observing your pure and reverent lives. That means even if he didn't bring home didn't do right and bring home the check, you cook for him anyway. The women say, oh, not me. This is enough. That means if he come on and he didn't do right, you say, listen, I'm going to do right by you even if you didn't do right by me. How many know you can't do that in your own strength? But how many know there's a power that's great enough that you can do it? It's the power of Jesus. That's why we got to let Jesus live in us. That's why we got to let this love of Jesus to flow through us. That's why we got to daily spend time with Jesus so that we can love like that. Do you realize that what would happen? It would transform our home if women would begin to, Marvin say amen. I'm getting him in trouble. No, listen to it. It would transform our homes if women would begin to love in a sacrificial way. Say, I give up my rights. You might not deserve it. You might not even earn it. You might not even merit it. The way you've been acting, I should throw a ball of hot water and put on you, but I'm going to cook your dinner tonight. Let me not give somebody the wrong idea. Listen to what Paul said to the husbands. He said, for the husband, it means love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave up his life for her. Husbands, this is what it says to us. Husbands, you are commanded to love your wife the way Christ loved the church. A love that's marked by giving and not getting. A love that prefers, a love that honors, a love that cherishes, a love that builds up and not tear down. Boy, we would transform our homes. We would transform our world if men would learn to love in a sacrificial way. Say, I know I might not feel like it. I read one example of saying on a Sunday morning, on Sunday afternoon, when you want to watch the Saints, you give the remote control to the wife and say, babe, I prefer you. You watch whatever you want. How many of you? If you want to watch Hallmark, go for it, babe. I'm going to sit here. A sacrificial love. A love that says, I put your needs above my own. A love that says, I honor you above myself. A love that says, listen, you are more important than I am, and I put your needs before mine. What would happen if we would begin to live that kind of sacrificial love? It would transform. It would transform our home. I want you to know that one of the number one reasons why so often a younger generation have been torn off is because they've not seen Christ-like love in the home. I'm going to say it again. One of the number one reasons why we have a younger generation seen it, excited, not passionate, not in love with Jesus is sometimes because they've not seen it lived out in the home. I want to challenge us as never before, in a world where everybody demanding their rights, in a world where everybody say, listen, I got to do my own thing, in a world where all by say, I got to do me, the devil is a liar. We got to be willing to practice Christ-like submission and say, God, it's not about me. Just like Jesus gave himself, I'm willing to give up myself. It doesn't just apply to husband and wife. Paul goes on to talk about parent and children relationship. What would happen if parents said, children say, I got the right, listen, I'm grown. You can't tell me what to do. But listen, but because I choose to honor the Lord, I'm going to respect you. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to appreciate you. See, that's the kind of love that the world needs to see a picture. In a world where today where people no longer honor and respect their parents, how many know what would happen in our world if we'll begin to honor and respect? That's Christ-like submission. Let's bring it to where you and I work. Because Paul then goes on in Ephesians chapter 6, and he began to talk about the relationship between workers and employer. You know, in the Bible today, it was primarily talked about slaves and masters, but in today it would apply to employees and employers. What would happen? Paul goes on to talk about that we are to work in such a way, I like Ephesians 6, 7 says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord and not men. Did y'all hear that? You're serving the Lord. I shared this example. When I was working at Shell, I had a manager who became my supervisor who disliked me. And my natural reaction was to respond by disliking him. He did everything. I was a number one performer at Shell, and they give us raises based on our performances. And so I would always get high raises because I had always good performance. Well, he began to lower my rating for no reason. And when I went to talk to him, he said, because I want to. Now, my flesh wanted to get angry. I'm going to tell y'all, the first few days I failed the test. Because when I went to, I didn't want to work as under a good attitude. I wasn't a happy camper. I didn't want to work as under the Lord. No, I was looking for some way to get back at him. But you know what? I came to a church service, and I remember I was convicted by how I was responding to my supervisor because of his dislike for me. And I want you to know, God is my witness, that It was probably a Sunday service, and that next day, that Monday, I went to the work. I said, can I have a meeting with you? I asked, can I meet with my manager? At first, he was very hesitant because he knew I didn't like him at all. I said, I'd appreciate just meeting with you. And as I got in the meeting, I said, first of all, I want to apologize. I said, for the last several weeks, I know I've not had a good attitude, and I've not wanted to be here. And I'm not giving you the best work. But I want you to know that starting today, I'm going to be the best worker you have. And I'm going to come here with a good attitude. His mouth just dropped open. He couldn't say nothing. He had did me wrong, but I responded by, you know what? I'm going to work as unto the Lord. How did I do that? I couldn't do it in my own strength. My flesh wanted to hurt him. My flesh wanted to jump across that desk and kill him. But I wanted to know, but that was a greater one on the inside of me. Somebody say greater. Say great. The greater one. The Bible says greater is he who's in us than he that's in the world. What can give us the power to love our enemies? What can give us the power to love a manager who's done everything to demote you, to try to get you fired, to even lie on you? He lied on me. But you know what? I want you to know that here's the rest of the story, because I determined to love like Jesus. You know, he promised. He said, listen, we would have these ratings. Every promotion and everything that I said, well, this was my goal to have this promotion. This was my goal to do this. Everything that he said, I would never accomplish, I would never do. How many know God flipped the script? I love telling this story because we serve a new wine in 1990. When I was getting ready to start the church here at New Wine in 1995, I turned in my resignation at the company. I was slated for a promotion, but I decided, no, I'm not waiting around. I was needed to full time here at the church. My manager called me in the office. He said, this is his exact words. He said, Neil, he said, you know, I know you're leaving the company, but you know what? I've already put in for you to get a promotion. And even though you're leaving the company, I think you deserve it. You know what? When I left the company, imagine, they gave me a promotion and a raise leaving the company. Come on, God. Is not Jesus good? Say, love works. Come on, say love works. Go ahead, chat it. Say love works. When you and I purpose to live a life of love, when we choose to love like Jesus, when we choose to love sacrificially, how many know love will win the day? Somebody say amen. I'm closing. One last example. Keyboard, drummer, y'all come on up. I'm closing right now. Listen, Jesus teaches us if we're going to love like Jesus, we must be willing to lay down our lives for others. John 15, 12 and 13. This is my commandment, that you love each other in the same way that I have loved you. There is no greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Did y'all hear that? If you're going to love like Jesus, you're going to have to lay down your life. If you're going to love like Jesus, you're going to have to be willing to give up. To lay down means lay down your plans, lay down your agenda, lay down your comfort on behalf of others. There's a story of a lady in South Wales that's a part of England. She was carrying her tiny baby in her arms. And she was on her way, as she was traveling across some hills, a blizzard unexpectedly came up. She knew she would never be able to reach her destination. The lady never showed up. Later, and they went out and searched for her, they found a mound in the snow. And when they took off the snow, there was the lady cuddled up. She had died. But before she died, she took off all her outer clothing and she wrapped her little baby. And as they unwrapped the clothing, that was the little baby alive. She gave of her life so that the baby could live. That boy, minister of England, man, he became the prime minister of England. His name was David Lloyd George. And he became one of England's greatest leaders and greatest prime ministers because of the sacrificial love of a mother who gave her life so that her child could live. In 2008, a lady in Starbucks her name was Sandy. And as she was serving one of her longtime customers, the customer began to tell her that she has a kidney disease, and unfortunately, they tested her husband and they tested her children, and none of them matched, and none of them could give her a kidney, and so she was going to likely die. And this Starbucks worker, her name was Anna Marie Arsene. Listen what she did. She said, "Can I go get tested and see if I match?" She went and got tested. Here's a Starbucks worker to someone who waited on her, who she waited on, found out that her blood type matched the other lady, and she gave up her kidney so that this lady might live. Isn't that amazing? We marvel at that kind of sacrificial love. Now listen, we may not ever have to die for someone. We may not ever have to give up a kidney so that someone else may live. But we can lay down our lives in other ways. We can lay down our lives by praying for somebody who's going through something. We can lay down our lives that when we got other plans, to sometimes give up our plans in order to see the need met. That's what Jesus is looking for right now. A love that's willing to say, "I'm willing to inconvenience myself so that your need might be met." You want to know why we're going to Lafayette, Lake Charles, this coming Saturday? Because we want to model to that community what sacrificial love look like. I have plans for Saturday just like you. I don't feel like driving that 2.5-hour trip just like you. But you know what? But sacrificial love says, because Jesus laid down his life for me. There are people there, families that didn't just experience one hurricane. They experienced two hurricanes in the span of 41 days. Many have lost everything. Many are discouraged. Many are tired. What an opportunity for the church to show what Jesus is like. Because Jesus laid down his life, he said, "Now we should lay down our life for others." I want to close in a word of prayer. There's so many opportunities today in the world we live in to demonstrate a sacrificial love. It starts right in our home. It starts right in our workplace. The world is looking for the real Jesus. And Jesus is seen when we love in a sacrificial way. When we give up our rights so that others can be served, they see Jesus. Let's ask Jesus to help us. How many of you want to love like Jesus? Just raise your hand. Amen. If you want to love like Jesus, just stand on your feet right where you are. I want to pray for you. I want to pray because you can't do it in your own strength. I can't do it in my own strength. But how many know he lives in us? And we can ask him to give us that grace. We can ask him. For every student, listen to me. You students, you have an opportune time. Those of you in high school, those of you in grade school right now, you have so many children who are afraid, so many children who are concerned, so many who worry. This is your opportunity to love them, to pray for them, to lay down your own, what my peer is going to think. You know, we're so worried about peer pressure. This is an opportunity for you to stop worrying about what your friends think, but worry about what Jesus thinks, and love sacrificially. Demonstrate the love of Jesus. That's my prayer, that we would show the world, in a world that's divided, in a world that's vindictive, in a world that's mean-spirited, in a world that's looking out just for me, let us show the world what it means to love like Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time together. Lord, we thank you that you loved us and you gave yourself as a sacrifice for us. You gave up your rights. You readily submitted to the Father's will. You laid down your life. And so, Lord, today, as your followers, Jesus, we want to look like you. Jesus, we want to love like you. And so, Lord Jesus, today, we asking you to love through us. We know what is impossible with man is possible with God. And so, Lord, we asking you today, start in our homes, start in our workplace, Lord, start in our community, Lord. God, start in our city. Lord, we want to love like you. I pray for everyone here who's standing. I pray that today, Father, today that they are going to be willing to give up their rights to serve others, whether they recognize or not. Lord, I pray that secondly, like Jesus, we're going to submit to the Father's will. And Lord, we're going to practice Christ-like submission in our relationships, on our jobs, in our homes. Lord, in the people that they're going to see a Christ-like love, preferring, honoring, cherishing, caring, a love that submits to you, Lord. Help us. And lastly, Lord, I pray that we will lay down our lives just as Christ laid down his life for us. Lay down our plans. Lay down our agendas. Lay down, Lord God, our convenience and our comfort so that we can love like Jesus. Father, we can't do it without you. But through Christ, we can do all things through him who strengthens us. If you're here today, I don't care where you are, and you say, Pastor, I can't love that way. It starts with a relationship with Jesus. It starts by letting him be the Lord of your life. We got a lot of people, we got a lot of church people today, but that don't mean we got real Christ followers. The churches are filled today with what I call church people, but it doesn't mean that they're Christ people. We become Christ people when we surrender our life to Jesus and we begin to love like Jesus. And so, Father, I pray for every high school student, every young person, every married person, Lord, who want to love like Jesus, who want Jesus. It starts with surrendering to you. Lord Jesus, today, we surrender our will to you. We ask you to forgive us of our sins. You paid a price for us at the cross. Today, we receive your eyes. Live in us. Come and live in our hearts. Be the Lord of our lives. Live in us, Lord. Love through us, Lord, so that the world might see our good works and follow you and glorify you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's thank God for it. Amen. Let me just see a share. I just